This is Making Shift Happen, and I'm your host, Jen Cates. Over the years, I've coached hundreds of clients to find their ideal self through the way they nourish their bodies and minds, and now I'm here to help pass on these same strategies to you. So let's stop the madness and get your results once and for all. Let's go. Hello, fam. Welcome to another episode of Making Shift Happen. Today's episode I am so excited about, as usual, of course, but we're talking about how you can use your menstrual cycle to empower your training. And the reason that I chose the word empower is on purpose, because I feel like all too often we're thinking that we're victims of our period. We're victims of this monthly bleed for all of us women and other menstruating individuals. And that's just not fair. That is not going to be the words or the verbiage or the mindset that's really going to help amplify our training and just our ability to show up day in and day out. Now, please know I'm not saying this as a naive individual who has an amazing monthly cycle or anything like that. I actually have a monthly cycle that, yeah, it's regular. I'm very fortunate with that. I'm going to be 45 this year. My cycle is incredibly regular, but I do get severe cramping and incredible fatigue for about 1 to 2 days every cycle. And this has been a common thing since I can even remember, all right? Now, I will say in recent months, since my training has actually increased, especially more on the aerobic side of things, and I'm just pedaling more, I'm on my bike more, I will say my period has actually gotten better. I don't know if there's obviously any type of correlation there or if it's causation. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go with it and just, you know, go with the flow, pun intended, and just assume that there is something that I'm doing that is positively impacting what my period might feel like every week or every month. God bless, not every week. That would be awful. I will also say that this episode was highly anticipated. This is the number one request that I've gotten from individuals to talk about periods and how the menstrual cycle can impact your training and impact your performance in general. And I really wanted to dive into this. And I've honestly been working on this episode for months now and just kind of adding notes and adding things, especially because I knew that there were some studies in the pipeline. And I wanted to wait for some of these studies to really show up in the past year or so. And honestly, the last research study did pop up in the last month, last 2 weeks, really. And I wanted to wait and push out this episode until I could really get just a little bit of a bigger body of evidence here. Now, the other reason for doing this episode is, yeah, it's been highly anticipated and it's been highly requested. So thank you to all of you who have requested this topic. But I will also say that adjusting your training around your menstrual cycle is a very hot topic right now, all right? A la Stacey Sims and all this other stuff. But I want to explore how valid it is. You know, does it truly make a difference? And that's what I want to explore in this episode, because here's the thing is, while I love Stacey Sims, I love Dr. Stacey Sims, she's done a lot of work in terms of putting women on the map and the need for us to be in research studies, for us to be participants in research studies, because women are highly underrepresented in research. And I'll talk about that today, especially for me, because I have worked in research studies for, you know, over 12 years in my previous life. The thing is that, you know, she has a book to sell. Other people have books to sell. They have things to sell. They have supplements to sell. They have this or that to sell. They have this seed cycling thing to sell. Whenever somebody has something to sell, you want to kind of, it should throw a little bit of caution to the wind, or you should not throw caution to the wind. You should actually elevate your caution here and just, and become inquisitive, become curious, all right? And while I appreciate what Dr. Sims and other researchers have done, all too often what happens is their recommendation to pigeonhole you into adjusting your training around your cycle can be a little too extreme. And I want to take the middle road here, all right? And something to keep in mind about menstruation while listening to this episode is that it depends on the individual and your training goals, your specific training goals. Everyone feels different during the different phases of their cycle. So we have to respect the variations from person to person, all right? So let's go ahead and dive in here. Let's talk, first of all, about the two main phases of your cycle, because, hey, let's be honest, you know, oftentimes even women and other menstruating individuals, we might just forget these facts that we learned when we were in freaking middle school during sex ed, all right? But let's talk about it. Follicular phase. That's the first two weeks of your cycle that includes your menstruation and ovulation. This is when your ovarian follicle matures, all right? This phase starts with menstruation, which is, which is, Aaron's outside my window doing something funny, and it just looks funny because it's in the corner of my eye. So I apologize. I'm not editing that out. I'm just going to keep it. But this phase starts with menstruation, which is when your uterine endometrial wall sheds its lining and you bleed, all right? This is when your actual period starts. Now, ovulation is when your luteinizing hormone, or LH, it rises, it elevates, and the ovarian follicle ruptures, and then the egg is released. That all happens during ovulation, right? The release of the egg. Now, ovulation triggers the change from the follicular phase to the luteal phase. So that's kind of the in-between bridge phase there, all right? Then we have the luteal phase. So this is when it's the final 2 weeks of your cycle that leads up to the menstruation. This is when the ovarian follicle degenerates, all right? So it's all just one happy, big cycle. I won't say happy. Maybe happy is the wrong word. But we have the follicular phase and the luteal phase. Now, of course, timelines of your cycle are different for everyone. I do want to point that out. Some people have a cycle that lasts 28 days or 4 weeks, but most menstruating individuals have a cycle that lasts anywhere between like 26 and 32 days. Okay, everyone's different, all right? It doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just your consistency and your cycle is yours and yours alone. Now, I also want to note that some folks do consider menstruation and ovulation their own phases, separate from the luteal and follicular phases, and that's fine, but that still doesn't take away from the fact that your cycle is indeed two main phases, all right? So, I already gave you a little recap, nice little summary of the phases itself, and now I want to talk about your hormones and what they do during your cycle, because this, of course, is the crux of everything. Your estrogen levels, they peak as you go into ovulation in the follicular phase, all right? During your luteal phase, however, both estrogen and progesterone increase and gradually decrease as you start menstruation, all right? So it's kind of an ebb and a flow here. Now, throughout the menstrual cycle, luteinizing hormone, or LH, follicle-stimulating hormone, which is also known as FSH, estrogen and progesterone all have a party, and all of their levels fluctuate at different times in order to trigger different phases and events in your menstrual cycle, all right? Now, these hormones may also trigger physiological changes in your body, which are important to talk about because this is actually, these physiological changes in your body are what change or what encourage researchers to say that, hey, you need to change your training around your cycle, all right? But how valid is this? And we'll talk about that in a minute. All right, so the physiological changes in your body are influenced, such as like estrogen, for example, influences your vasculature and plays a role in activating what's called endothelial-derived nitric oxide, which helps lead to vasodilation. Now, vasodilation, I could talk about endlessly because I used to work in, you know, pulmonary and arterial type of work in my previous history in research. And vasodilation was a huge thing that we used actually to treat certain indications or certain diseases that we were researching at the time. And vasodilation just means that, you know, yeah, you're vasodilating, you're dilating your vasculature, so you're increasing your ability to basically shuttle blood to various parts of your body, right? That's kind of like the dumbed down version of it, and I hope that makes sense. Now, other hormonal, you know, physiological changes here are that high total and free estradiol levels were associated with high hematocrit, all right? That's one thing that has been shown. Now, with nitric oxide being related to vascular health and blood flow and all this other stuff, and hematocrit being related to oxygen delivery and your maximum rate of oxygen consumption, which is also known as probably VO2 max, which you're probably familiar with, it does seem plausible that, yeah, menstrual cycle induced variations in your hormone levels, especially like estrogen, may impact your aerobic exercise you know, ability, capacity, and performance. So that's why, you know, there's kind of like all these indicators that, hey, maybe the period does actually impact performance, you know, because it impacts our aerobic abilities in certain phases, right? Now, due to the addition of, you know, sex hormones basically driving your menstrual cycle and their specific roles in, you know, eliciting any type of changes in your physiological systems, please know that, this all points to signs that this might indicate it can change your performance levels throughout your cycle. Now, I will also say that, a lot of female athletes and menstruating individuals, you know, who are athletes do report that they consider that their menstrual cycle might impair their performance, all right? But again, this is pretty subjective. It's kind of how we feel. And how realistic is that compared to actual performance metrics? Because, hey, I don't know about you, but during my period, my emotions are a little bit erratic, and I definitely am not one of these people that's like, oh, you know, is it your cycle? You're emotional. I am not one of those people. I actually embrace emotions, and I embrace showing emotion, and I embrace being emotional and riding the flow of emotions that can happen day in and day out, whether it's your menstrual cycle or not. But I do want to say that how you feel is very real, all right? But it is also subjective. So are we getting skewed because of our feelings? You know, because we feel weaker, are we automatically just assuming that we are weaker? And maybe this just isn't a good reality to kind of embrace, all right? Now, menstrual symptoms are also a very real thing. And of course, menstrual symptoms can cause athletes to believe like, yeah, performance is definitely being impact it because I'm freaking cramping and I'm going through an extra large or a super, you know, tampon every hour. And how am I supposed to race when I'm doing that? You know, it's an extreme amount of blood loss. So yeah, because of these reasons, you know, it's really important to determine whether the menstrual cycle actually does impair or influence your performance when you're doing your sport. All right. Now, I will also say that, because of these hormonal fluctuations, I'm having a hard time with that word. It has been recommended by some folks out there, like I hinted to earlier, that you quote unquote cycle sync your workouts with your hormones in order to appeal to your body's supposed needs, all right? Now, cycle syncing basically suggests that you should do only like gentle workouts and, you know, that type of movements like yoga, stretching, mobility, blah, 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 during the luteal phase and into menstruation, all right? Especially your late luteal phase, because usually that's when, you know, menstruating individuals can kind of feel the symptoms a little bit more dramatically. Now, cycle syncing also suggests that at the end of your 10 to 14 day follicular phase, you should possibly ramp things up in intensity, you know, maybe add in the HIIT workouts or high intensity interval training workouts, for example. These are, of course, just suggestions. Now, on top of this, on top of cycle syncing, you know, reports and suggestions, other research does suggest that there is an increase in ACL injuries during ovulation because your peak estrogen levels increase what relaxin in the body. And relaxin is basically a hormone that kind of increases or causes laxity in the ACL and other ligaments throughout your body. Now, this is one reason it may be important to consider where in your cycle you are if you do tend to do sports or activities that increase your risk of injury to your ACL. Now, we're talking things such as soccer or football and skiing or other sports that involve basically a lot of footwork and cutting, you know, what we call cutting, like so changing or pivoting position very quickly. You know, this can be even in things like rec sports, like flag football. Oh my goodness, I see rec sports causing injury very often, especially in adult athletes who are trying to get back into their soccer, you know, and flag football days or kickball or whatever it is, you know, even volleyball. So if you are in a sport that does have a lot of cutting, you know, i.e. soccer. Soccer's huge, and ACL injuries are quite high in that sport. Rugby is another one, flag football, things like that. Yeah, your risk of ACL injury is going to be a lot higher, especially skiing, you know. Now, cycling and mountain biking, however, present little risk, as does weight training. So this is where I think this gets lost in translation because people just think that they're, oh, well, I'm active, so I'm automatically at risk of injuring my ACL. Sure, maybe a little bit, But in the grand scheme of things, are you a soccer player? Are you doing things that are incredibly intense and demanding of your knees and ACL? Then great, then you might want to consider things, you know, and this might even be really applied to, you know, folks who are trail runners. And I'm saying trail runners versus road runners because trail running does bring about an increase in exposure to elements that could be more demanding on your knee joints. So just something to think about. Now, I will also say that yes, the research does suggest that hormonal fluctuations do impact your energy, mood, and stress levels for menstruating individuals, but you know, I'm going to be a smart ass. I'm just going to go ahead and say, did we really need a study to confirm this? I mean, seriously, I think, you know, and I know anecdotal evidence, blah, blah, blah. It's not evident, a body of evidence, but it's still evidence. It's still very real because again, what you feel is very real. But I think that there's ample anecdotal evidence across the population of menstruating individuals that there are fluctuations in mood, energy, and stress levels, period, right? Now, however, there is not enough evidence that shows that cycle syncing brings significant benefits to a menstruating individual who trains, all right? There's just not enough evidence that shows that. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. More recent, for example, in 2023, research in the Journal of Applied Physiology suggests that the menstrual cycle had no impact on the power outputs of the menstruating athletes compared to male and or non-menstruating athletes. And this particular research used a biking-specific body of data. My friends, this was literally cycling-specific. In full transparency, I will go ahead and say that it was a small sample size, but that's because they were specifically researching on endurance-trained individuals, which can be harder to recruit. All right, recruitment in studies is challenging. If you ever have the opportunity and you do meet the criteria, the inclusion criteria for a research study, please, if you are open to it and you are available and you go through the informed consent process to participate in that study, I highly encourage that you do, especially if you have interest in the topic, especially if it is going to be a sports-centered, you know, topic of research that we need you, is what I'm trying to say. We need bodies in research studies, especially if you're in your 20s or 30s. We need you. Yeah, I don't know if, hopefully I didn't overstep any boundaries by saying these things, but I'm trying to encourage people to participate in certain research studies. I mean, most of the time they're just asking you to do treadmill workouts or, you know, full power output on either a ski erg machine, a rowing erg, a bike, you know, stationary bike or a treadmill or something like that. So it's very possible. It's very accessible, especially if you live in the vicinity of a university that does do research. Please, academia, we need you, right? But that was what's really cool. And I'll link these studies in the show notes. I might forget, but I'll get around to it. Now, the most comprehensive way to measure exercise tolerance is by measuring the maximum duration that a broad range of power outputs can be sustained. So with that being said, there was a newly released research in just the last couple of weeks from Taylor et al. I didn't put in my little bullet note what I think it was, like the Applied Exercise Science Journal or something like that. The Journal of Applied Exercise Science. I don't know. I'm going off my memory here, but it was just released and it showed that the menstrual cycle has no influence on performance. I repeat, the menstrual cycle has no influence on performance. This study examined performance across the menstrual cycle by testing participants with a series of three different tests, all right? So it consisted of basically 4 to 6 rounds of like a 5 minute max stages with a stepwise speed increases. So nice little ramp up there. It also included a 30 second all out double pulling ski erg test. Whew, that would not be my favorite. And then it also included a maximal incremental treadmill running test. You know, whew, that's a lot. Now I will say, and I'm gonna quote the study here, none of the measured performance determining variables were influenced by menstrual cycle phase or serum estrogen or progesterone concentrations. While some individual patterns could be observed, there was no indication that any single menstrual cycle phase is consistently associated with improved or impaired peak oxygen uptake on a group level. This is huge. Again, I'm going to link this in the show notes, but this is huge. This shows that, you know, Women should be included in more studies, first of all, but it also shows that yes, it doesn't really impact, your menstrual cycle doesn't necessarily impact performance. It might impact how you feel because you might feel like rubbish, but we're going to talk about that later. Now, to a certain point, I'm going to spend a moment here because I'm very passionate about this, but females are often excluded from exercise performance research due to the possible challenges in controlling for the menstrual cycle, right? Mainly because we're not completely sure how the menstrual cycle impacts performance. At least we weren't. But now a lot of the body of evidence is showing that, hey, this is good. This is good. Now, again, because I used to work in research and I'm incredibly passionate about this, there is the National Institute of Health Revitalization Act of 1993. Now, this was, of course, issued by the U.S. government. This promotes the inclusion of females in clinical research. Despite this act in 1993, mind you, we're in 2024, females are still often excluded from exercise performance research. And this is still an ongoing issue over 20 years later. And it frustrates me, all right? And I know it's frustrating for the researchers out there, especially the female researchers that I follow, but I'm here to also share that there are more and more female researchers leading the charge on various research studies, all right? This is why the research on the menstrual cycle and female athletic performance has been increasing in the last few years, and I am here for it. I seriously am here for it. If you want to follow any researchers on social media, I highly recommend Dr. Amal, A-M-A-L. She's based out of the UK. She's amazing, as well as Dr. Alyssa Linick. Like, these are incredible individuals. Now, of course, there's others. These are just folks that I'm only able to kind of name off the top of my head right now because I wasn't expecting to talk about it. But I'm here on my soapbox saying, hey, follow them. Follow the science. Follow valid researchers who don't try to sell you things, but are instead really trying to support the body of research and trying to enhance our knowledge base on this, all right? The key in all of this is to, first of all, become aware of your cycle. So let's kind of wrap it up here and talk about like what you can do and, you know, what kind of indications in your period might need to make changes to your training and what this looks like. All right. So let's put the action in here. So again, the key in all of this is just to become aware of your cycle. So start tracking it. Know when it will start so it doesn't come as a complete surprise. And then knowledge and awareness are everything. I cannot emphasize that enough. I know that I say that in so many episodes, and there's a reason for it because it is true. You know, knowledge is very empowering. Now, knowing when your period is going to start, this also allows you to become aware of what possible changes may happen in your body and your energy levels along with mood so you're not taken by surprise. You know, periods are a very vital sign of your overall health. And missed or irregular periods basically indicate that something is off within your system. You know, if you're on a hormonal birth control, then this changes things when it comes to your overall ability to tap into your cycle health and any potential that you might have for things like relative energy deficiency in sports, you know, which is also called REDS. Because, you know, hormonal birth control can mask any impact of REDS that you may be having and such. So, but that's a topic for another day in another podcast. And now I actually want to say, REDS has recently been changed to just RED, you know, relative energy deficiency. I think we dropped the sports because it's kind of obvious, but I can't remember. They just recently made that change in the last you know, few months. So pardon me if I did make that error and I misspoke, but ultimately what I'm talking about is relative energy deficiency. So it's just that usually comes about when you're under eating or under fueling and things like that. So that, again, that's a topic for another day. But the key here that I want to share is to track your cycle first and foremost. Start to learn what parts of your cycle you may notice your energy is lower or you might have difficulty with sleep and recovering, and then use this information to decide what changes you may need to make to your training for a couple of days or so, all right? Don't feel like you need to revamp your entire training protocol just because of your menstrual cycle. I want you to empower yourself. That's the whole purpose of this episode. You know, just become aware of what your body's needs are. And if you have, you know, any intense period symptoms, heavy bleeding, or things like PMDD or MDD, then respect those symptoms and be gentle with yourself, all right? Still train, still move your body regardless of your period, since that honestly can help immensely with your symptoms and energy levels. But maybe know that your energy is low at certain times, so you may not you may not want to do anything, you know, super intense or lift incredibly heavy or go for a PR at certain times, all right? Usually for most people, I will say it's usually in the late luteal phase until right until the first day of menstruating, sometimes maybe even 2 days in, especially if you do have a heavy flow. But again, everyone's different. You know, for some people, it's sometimes just the several days of menstruation, and especially if it's a heavy bleed. But again, everyone's different. Now for me, you know, just because I want to share my story just for a moment, I personally still lift and bike when I'm on my period and in the days leading up to my cycle. But I have friends and clients who are fairly incapacitated. You know, now I will say I do certainly feel a difference in my energy levels 1 to 2 days a month. And those days are usually in the late luteal phase right before my period starts. My legs, oh my goodness, they feel heavy while I'm climbing my bike. I also get bloated, and I notice that lasts for a couple of days until maybe a day after my period starts. And I do also notice that consuming alcohol during this time only makes the symptoms worse for me. You know, fortunately, I don't necessarily consume alcohol very often, but man, when I do, it just like enhances the bloating. It enhances the cramping and all this crap. It makes my sleep even worse. So it's just not worth it for me. But ultimately, that's just how it is for me. It's important for trainers and athletes to understand how our hormones can affect us in regard to strength increases during the follicular phase and the feeling of decreases in strength alongside possible weight gain in the luteal phase. That's what I'm trying to get to here. You know, a client, for example, or an athlete, maybe this is you and you have a weight loss goal, fat loss goal, you might be fairly disheartened to see that the weight gain without realizing variations of up to honestly like right around like 3 kilograms or 6 pounds. These are normal for women depending on where you are in your cycle. And by women, I mean also menstruating individuals, you know, so please know like there are definitely fluctuations and it's because of the estrogen and progesterone fluctuations that we experience. So I don't want you to feel weakened by your period. Instead, I want you to use the knowledge that you have about your period to empower you. I can't say that enough. You know, this is completely different than overhauling your entire freaking cycle for your period. You know, we're just asking for self-compassion and grace here, especially during certain phases of your period, especially if you are symptomatic and you do have, you know, certain symptoms that are excruciating or you do have heavy bleeding, then yeah, that's going to change things. It's going to, of course, change how you feel. So what can you do about your training over the course of your menstrual cycle? I will go ahead and say that blanket recommendations are not good for anyone since they are just not specific to you and what you need. And this is why I'm not a fan, generally speaking, of certain, you know, books that are out there that are talking about performance for female athletes. Now, I was all about Roar, for example. I'm a huge fan of Roar, and I still am. But when there's blanket recommendations that are given, this is when it can be a little bit of a red flag, all right? So again, blanket recommendations, they're just not good for anyone and everyone. And we want things to be more specific to you and what you need. But there are a couple of ideas that I do want to share that can help, you know? So first and foremost, instead of completely changing your training program, instead of like completely overhauling it to be in sync with your cycle, opt to use an RPE scale or a rate of perceived exertion scale instead of trying to aim for a certain weight on the barbell or dumbbells or kettlebells or whatever you're lifting, right? You know, and same thing with like HIIT workouts, maybe just lower the intensity if you need to a couple of days a month. So use RPE, you know, your personal rate of perceived exertion, which is yes, subjective, but it's important because it's how you feel. Use that as a scale and an indicator to help you change how you're showing up for your workout instead of feeling the need and demand to lift a certain weight or lift a certain percentage. If you're not feeling it at 85 to 95% of your one rep max, you know, lifting that much, don't do it. Lift less, lift closer to 70%. You're still going to maintain your strength. You're still going to build your power. You're still going to, you know, you're still going to aim for your performance, but you're not going to freaking completely tax yourself and have you feel exhausted after training that maybe was just too intense for what you needed to do that day. Another thing that you can do, you know, to kind of make some changes maybe to your training over the course of your menstrual cycle, is to adjust your schedule for your workouts by a day or two, or whatever you need. You know, if you know you'll feel better after you start your period, for example, then move the more intense or heavier workout to a day later or whatever you need. You know, switch some workouts around. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. You're not going to just lose all your gains and lose your performance metrics by changing things. You know, change is good. Change is a very good thing, especially if it will mean that you're going to perform better at that particular workout later. All right. Ultimately, what I'm trying to say here is you do you. Learn your body. Learn how it responds to things. And use that knowledge to fuel your workouts and training. And then use it to allow yourself to be gentle with your body and any expectations that you might place on yourself, okay? Like I said earlier, I have a couple of days a week, or a month rather. God, I keep saying a week. I have a couple of days a month where I'm going to chill out. I'm going to go lighter in my weights. I'm going to go less intense. If I have HIIT planned for that day, like a finisher or whatever planned in the Shred Strong program that I follow, then I'm just going to do it with less intensity. All right. You know, maybe I'll do max reps in 15 seconds instead of 30 seconds, for example. And, you know, the weight will be lighter. Those are just examples. All right. But again, ultimately you do you. Besides all of this, I highly recommend having a healthcare practitioner to discuss your period needs with, especially if you do have heavier or more intense cramping or heavier flows or other symptoms. And on top of that, I do also highly recommend that you follow really notable sources, most key source out there on social media right now who shares accurate information and valid research is Dr. Jen Gunter. She wrote The Vagina Bible, highly recommend. She also wrote, I have not read this yet, Bleed, which is going to talk all about your menstrual cycle and, you know, what to kind of expect, what could happen, and what you might need to do to kind of change that. And again, I'm not paid to, you know, refer you to her by any means. I just really love her work and I love the validity of her statements. Let's put it that way. Again, she's a phenomenal GYN. Again, Dr. Jen Gunter, I can't say her name, having a hard time with words, friends. But yeah, she's often talking about how to manage painful periods, heavy flows, and other ways that you can manage your period and intense symptoms. So I can't say enough good things about her. All right, fam, thank you for listening and supporting this episode. Seriously, I know it's been a love and a work in progress. And if you have any questions, add a comment to this episode on my website or on Instagram, and I will catch you next week. Thanks again for your patience as I got this episode out to you. I wanted to make sure I had the most current body of evidence possible. And of course, this can also change. And I may even also, you know, have a part two later on or an update later on because the research body can change as time evolves. So thank you for that. And I did my best to try to keep this short. I mean, a lot of episodes that are out there are over an hour long, up to 2 hours long on menstrual cycles. I'm keeping this at right around 30 minutes. When that's on purpose, because I know not everyone has the time or the capacity to listen to such long podcast episodes. So again, thank you for your time. I'm incredibly grateful for you. All the hugs to you, and I hope you have an amazing and beautiful day. Bye, friends.